that proximity of, you know, experienced musicians and younger players who were being taught directly, you know, that was a key component. So part of what we wanted to do is to try and just be the bridge to help these musicians maintain their livelihood in the area, and that if we could do that, we hope then that others with deeper pockets and whatever would help out. Now, I know a lot of musicians did go to neighboring cities, but I think between our efforts and the efforts of so many others, I think the news is very good. I think the New Orleans music tradition and culture is still very vibrant, very healthy, and you know, a lot of people have returned. And last time I was there, you know, you'd almost be looking around going, well, you know, unless you're in some of those areas that have been really devastated, you see that the city is really resurgent in a great way, and definitely in terms of music. We were looking for songs that we could collaborate on, you know. When September Comes is the one that I love that tune, and I thought maybe Beautiful Day might be good. So we tried them out in Abbey Road, and it sounded really good. So at that point we knew we had the main body of a set, and the rest we kind of figured out kind of leading up to the event itself. But it was also important for us to include some New Orleans musicians, obviously. Big part of why we wanted to be there in the first place is to honor that great tradition and that great culture. So we reached out to Trombone Shorty, and he was kind of our go-to guy in New Orleans, and with his help we put together the rest of the package and bill of players and musicians. Our relationship with Trombone Shorty goes back to maybe 10 years previously, when Bono and myself happened to be in New Orleans. We're doing some shows in the area, and we decide we're going to go out. And Bono's heard about this great club down the road that we have to check out. So the two of us, I think there was maybe three or four people, we went to this tiny little bar. And as soon as I walked in the door, I could hear this kicking groove happening, this amazing sound. And, you know, sort of peering over the heads of people in the bar, I was like, wow, there's like only a couple of guys up there. I couldn't believe it was like that noise, that immense sound was coming from like four guys. And then I suddenly realized that one of them was probably about 13 or 14 years old, who's on the trombone. And they were playing this unbelievable kind of brass-driven funk. And it was Trombone Shorty. So I never forgot that experience. That night, Bono and I ended up dancing on the bar at like 2 in the morning and had an amazing time. But just that memory of hearing like this music. And, you know, it wasn't like anything you were hearing on the radio anywhere else in the world. It was completely local, indigenous, like a kind of a sound that was so typical of the area, incredibly inspiring. So I took due note of this young musician, Trombone Shorty, and so when Music Rising started, we made contact with him, and he was great. He's always been a huge supporter and our go-to guy whenever we want to reach out to the musicians. I think that it was September 12th, possibly, so like two weeks after the flood. So it was just a few days after maybe a week after the last people had left the Superdome, and looked around, and you know, I just wanted to see what had happened to fully grasp what we were trying to deal with Music Rising. And then I got to go in the March of 2016 again. We were lucky enough to be part of the reopening of the Jazz Museum, the Preservation Hall. So that was a very proud moment. But this third trip, when we performed at the Superdome, was was amazing. I got a chance really to show the other members of U2 what I'd seen the first time. So we toured down St. Bernard Parish and all around the more hard-hit areas. But then, to contrast that, Quint Davis said, you know, you guys should come and see a second line parade. So I got the guys and we headed down, and it was so joyful. It was just, you know, it was the perfect contrast to see the, you know, why we were here, what we were trying to work to overcome, but then also the wonderful music and culture of the area and why it was so worthwhile to put our effort and money into it. So it was really great. And Bono was really struck by how the second line traditions were so reminiscent of what he was seeing in West Africa, Mali, and, you know, that the African aspect of the culture is very, very sort of intact. It hasn't really changed that much. Obviously, there's a new slant on it, but many of the elements are directly and authentically African, which is incredible. I think what really sticks in my mind was after the show was done, after we'd wrapped up and everyone was, you know, left the venue, we went out into the city and had a chance to really enjoy New Orleans in this more hopeful phase. And that was just so inspiring and such a incredible night. And it was fueled by a lot of great music enjoyed in lots of little venues around the city. So it just reassured me that this great music culture was alive and kicking, and that you know, our efforts had not been in vain, and that if we'd helped in some small way, that it made me very proud.